Monday morning, we want to give you a look ahead at what's going to be on the agenda for this week. We're joined today by Kai Wright, the editor of ColorLines.com, and Charlie Herman, of course, our economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. Kai, do you have a word for the week?
Do-over.
Do-over.
I think we will continue to do-over both the federal and state level budgets.
Okay.
We will fight it and fight it and fight it again.
Do-overs are nice. I like do-overs. Charlie?
If they work out. On edge.
On edge.
On edge.
Yes.
Both in terms of what Kai's talking about, but also in terms of clearly what's happening in Japan and in particular what's happening with the nuclear reactor
there. Well, let's start right there. Obviously, a humanitarian crisis, a possible nuclear emergency. This is all going to coming amidst reports, predictions, I guess, that this could be the most expensive natural disaster in history. Japan is a $5 trillion economy. It's the third largest in the world. So tell me exactly in terms of the economy, not just Japan's economy, which will clearly take a big hit, but the world economy, could this have come at a better time?
Well, it's sort of funny to say that short term, the expectation of most economists, and let's go into the assumption that something doesn't happen with the nuclear plant,
yeah,
worse than what we've seen, that in the short term, a lot of natural disasters like this, that there is a big hit. We saw this in the U.S. with Katrina, for example.
Yeah.
But in the long term, there can be some growth, especially from rebuilding. Now, that might add to Japan's debt. They have a huge amount of debt already, so that's not necessarily a good thing. But a lot of this is going to be in the short term. How affected is the infrastructure in Japan right now? They have rolling blackouts. How will industries be impacted? You have a lot of auto plants, for example, which are not operating on Monday. Today, this may continue going forward. How is shipping?
They've got a tough supply chain in Japan.
Yeah,
one factory shuts. A lot of them do.
Although after the Kobe earthquake, they did diversify their supply chain.
But then this region, how significant is it to the overall Japanese economy? And there's a lot of just things that aren't clear. But one of the questions that I saw, for example, posed in the Wall Street Journal was this idea of what you see in Japan. If you combine that what's going on in the Middle East, if you combine that with European debt problems, if you combine that to budget problems here in the U.S., do you have this potential, you know, that to be on edge in terms of what happens to the global economy? Do we keep growing, or is this yet sort of the straw that broke the global economic back, as it were?
And this is coming amidst, obviously, tens of thousands, perhaps more than 100,000 people who've lost everything, lost their homes and businesses. And I've seen reports from the Emergency Agency that only 14% of this population actually has insurance. Let's move on now to another place which is obviously in crisis, and that is Libya. We're getting reports that the Gaddafi's forces are actually becoming more aggressive, that they're moving further east. And Kai, the rebels are becoming more strident, I guess, in calling for a no-fly zone, more in some ways desperate.
Yeah. I mean, I think to return to Charlie's point is this uncertainty thing. You know, I think you see it again in Libya. You know, it just feels like we're at a place where there are so many things that could cut anyway. Right. And who knows who knew what last week held in Libya?
Although Gaddafi may actually roll up the opposition this week. Does the U.S. have to play its card on no fly zone, do you think, this week? Is it do or die this week?
But let's say we do that. Where do we go from there?
Yeah.
Can we sustain a no fly zone?
We certainly can't without some kind of casualties.
And just to chime in, I mean, this is somewhat reminiscent of what we saw in 2008 during the financial crisis. There was just a lot of fear and worry about where are we going from here. And so markets began to react, not necessarily to the knowledge of what was happening, but to the fear of what might happen. And that made things worse than what the actual, well, I shouldn't say that things were pretty bad, and they still are. But it's the idea that fear can actually drive a lot of what you see in terms of economics.
No winning. Whichever way you go, it's not necessarily a good solution. But let's move to sort of some budget fights. And I want to start in Wisconsin, because we reported last week that they separated the bargaining portion out of the budget bill. They passed that. The 14 Democratic state senators from Wisconsin who fled the state to halt that vote have returned over the weekend. People said, though, this fight is not over, and they were right. I mean, more than 100,000 people gathered in Madison, Wisconsin for the largest protest ever. Where does it go from here?
Well, I believe next up is a voter ID bill there. I think what the Wisconsin Republicans are hoping is they can move on from this to disenfranchising a lot of the voters, frankly. This was always a political battle in the first place. And so once they have, in fact, gotten rid of unions there, there's actually it's fun to say, you know, oh, look, there's a left again in America. That's what a lot of folks are saying when they look at Wisconsin. But it's hard to see where all of that energy on the street translates into actual politics and actual policy, because they will, as these unions come apart, that really there's a reason why Scott Walker didn't want those unions. It's hard for the Democrats to run for office without unions. And it's not going to stop in Wisconsin. You know, this
is Ohio.
This is Indiana. This is New Jersey.
Is there a pendulum effect, though? Does it swing the other way at a certain point, and suddenly the union workers have an issue that's going to actually play for the Democrats, particularly in the primaries?
It's the same. It's same state level as is nationally. There could be a pendulum effect. Is there time? So when you step away from the politics of it, you know, is there time for that? We have been, and as we've been talking about around the globe, it's true nationally as well. We have been in these crises for a minute now, and the need for aggressive policymaking to respond to those crises. The time has come and gone for it.
And so
2 years from now, does Wisconsin right itself now that, you know, collective bargaining is then gone? You know, do Democrats take over at a place like Wisconsin? Do they find themselves?
Well, the AFL-CIO president said he should be thanking Scott Walker for the most effective recruiting tool they've ever had.
Certainly.
We shall see.
We'll see where this goes.
And in midst of all of this, there's still the battle over the budget continuing in Washington. They're expecting to pass a stopgap spending bill, so at least we don't have a government shutdown this week. And we'll see whether or not we get an adult conversation about the budget battle in Washington. Thanks so much to Kai Wright, editor of ColorLines.com, and Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and our flagship station, WNYC Radio. We always have an adult conversation here, right?
I hope so.
On a good day.
On a good day.